viewers, welcome back to Rise and Shine, your life here on Tobago Channel 5. In a short while, we will be doing an interview with Imam German, Imam of Germantown Mosque, Philadelphia, U.S. I'm not sure if we've got him on the phone at this point in time. He's on the phone. Imam, good morning.
Morning, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. And this is Imam Hassan at Somali.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, good morning. Imam Hassan at Somali.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
Are you hearing me? Good.
Yes, I can hear you.
Good to have you on our program.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Let me ask you here, Imam. We're talking this morning about the Paris terrorist attacks. In your opinion, as far as you know, coming from the Quran, is this the way Allah treats with in terms of what the Quran stands for, what Islam stands for? Is this the way that Muslims should treat with matters of disagreement in the public domain?
I mean, let me start by saying that Islam totally condemns these types of attacks. If we're talking about the Quran, then I think it's fair and just that we actually refer to it to see what it says about the taking of innocent life. And I'll just mention to you one verse that we find in Surah Al-Ma'idah in the Quran when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the taking of innocent life. And he said, من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفسه فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. Which means, because of that, we ordained for the children of Israel that whoever takes a life without any justification, it would be as if he has killed the whole of mankind. Now this is the taking of one life. And when Prophet Muhammad and his companions resided in Mecca, they were the subject of much abuse and transgression. However, none of them responded in this fashion. Rather, they were patient and they observed the best form of character. Islamic law is built upon five primary objectives, which is the preservation of religion, life, intellect, wealth, and likewise progeny. So these fanatics have violated the preservation of life, and they've murdered Muslims and non-Muslims, because one of the people that actually lost their life in the French massacre was a Muslim. So they violated this primary principle, which is the preservation of life. They violated the preservation of property. So this is nothing but a political cause, even if these fanatics and savages try to portray and claim otherwise.
These individuals claim to avenge the Prophet. What do you think about that?
Again, there's a beautiful verse in the Quran where Allah, he said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ Say, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Because even in the past, people used to make bold claims. I love Allah, I love Prophet Muhammad. However, this did not manifest in their actions. So this is a litmus test for them. If you truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. As we mentioned earlier, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and his disciples, when they resided in Mecca, they never responded in this way. Prophet Muhammad was abused and insulted. He was accused of being a magician and a sorcerer. His honor was attacked. And he was patient, and he still called the people to the message that he was sent with, which was to worship God alone without any partners. So, no doubt, as Muslims, we state that the defamation of any prophet of God, whether it is Muhammad or Jesus, is a blasphemous act. However, it is totally unacceptable and un-Islamic to respond in such a way. Three individuals said at the time of the Prophet, and I want you to understand this tradition because it's very powerful. For three individuals, they said at the time of the Prophet, as for me, I'm not going to get married. He wanted to dedicate his life to the worship of God. Another one said, as for me, I'm going to fast continuously and I'm never going to break my fast. And as for me, I'm not going to sleep at night because I'm going to spend the night, the whole night in prayer. Now, when this reached Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, as for me, I marry. As for me, I sleep during the night and I pray. And as for me, I fast and sometimes I break my fast. So he said, whoever turns away from my teachings, then they are not from me. This was with regards to these acts of worship. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, what would he say when people are murdering and slaughtering children and women and civilians walking down the street in his name? He is free from these individuals. The only person that they avenged in these attacks was the devil, because the devil is the one who inspires this type of behavior.
Okay. I'm an ex-Somali. Do you think that coming across from Syria to Mali, those extremists are avenging, you know, the Western retaliation, bombing, killing for the ISIS incursion across those areas? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, do you think that this is the extremists trying to avenge the Western retaliation of the ISIS militants that run across Syria and the Middle East?
Like I said earlier, even Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he resided in Mecca, there are many incidents that we find authentically transmitted to us, that at one point in time he was praying at the Kaaba and a non-Muslim came to him and started to strangle him for no other reason except that he was calling them to worship God alone. And one of the companions came and intervened and said, do you want to kill a man just because he says that there is no God that deserves to be worshipped except Allah? So regardless of what the reason is, there is no justification whatsoever with regards to these acts. ISIS, if we analyze that movement in itself, ISIS is a fanatical movement which is alien to the teachings of Islam. It's a fanatical movement which is alien to the teachings of Islam. If you look in Syria, if you look in Iraq, they slaughter anyone, man, woman, and children, even Muslims. And they believe that this brings them closer to God. And their predecessors are fanatical sects of old that many Muslims are familiar with. This is not something that is new. So if it wasn't, for example, an attack upon them that occurred in Syria, they would try and justify these actions with something else, because they have a deviated theology. And that's why the verse I started with, when we find in the Quran, when Allah said, whoever takes the life of an innocent soul without justification, it is as if he has killed the whole of mankind. The scholars of Islam, when they interpret this verse, they say, the person that takes a life, he believes that it's lawful for him to take that life, and he acts upon that. And that's what we have to understand. ISIS and Boko Haram and Shabab and other groups like them, they have a theology that dictates for them the permissibility of killing innocent people. So there's no difference for them between one life and another. So the justification that they use is not any attack. It's their theology, it's their belief, it's what they believe as their religion. And as I said, Islam is totally free from it. It's really political. If you analyze their call, if you analyze their words, it's a political struggle. It's about money, it's about wealth, it's about land, and there's other ulterior motives with regards to these organizations. Yes.
Yeah, but how can you, with your influence, assist, or can you help any at all in neutralizing, you know, the actions of these extremist groups?
To be honest, there are many people that have been vocal for the last 20 years countering extremism. For example, our brothers in the UK, in Salafi Publications, I was a student in 1996 at university in the UK, King's College. I was studying chemistry, biochemistry. And at that time, there were extremist groups on campus calling to the fanatical jihadist movement. At that time, those individuals who were based in Birmingham, they were spreading the correct understanding of Islam, the correct theology, and they were refuting and replying to the doubts that were used by extremists. At that time, this is not a new phenomenon. This is something that is old. It was happening, like I said, back then. Abu Qatada, Abu Hamza al-Misri, Omar Bakri. These individuals were very active back then, promoting this corrupt and this barbaric theology. These individuals, and it still continues today, have responded theologically to these doubts and annihilated them. And that is why, and I thank God for it, from the reasons that I'm here today, is from the efforts of these people and others who are upon a similar way in clarifying the correct Islamic stance towards these type of incidents, events, and theologies. Myself, I've written various articles, you know, condemning these groups and likewise exposing their flawed understanding of al-Islam. So people are very active. However, they have to be given the platform to do so on a wider level. I think that this is something very important as well, that ISIS, Boko Haram, they recognize that they are weak and they recognize that they are marginalized in the Muslim community. They are less than 0.5% of this ummah. But they want to act as the catalyst to start a conflict between Muslims and non-Muslims across the globe. And I think as Muslims and non-Muslims, we have to be responsible and not allow that to happen. These individuals are ostracized in our communities, the Muslim communities. However, I'm seeing something that is very worrying to me on social media. People who are mainstream, non-Muslims who are mainstream, who own media outlets and who own television stations, holding all Muslims accountable for what took place in Paris. That is absolutely ludicrous. That is absolutely ludicrous when the vast majority of people, Muslims on the earth, are peaceful. And they condemn these type of atrocities. I think that we have to be balanced, and I think that we have to recognize that these individuals, they want a conflict between Islam and the non-Muslims, and we can't allow that to happen. So my role and the role of people like me is to respond theologically and clarify to the non-Muslims that this is not from al-Islam, but I think even the non-Muslims, especially the media, they have to be more responsible in their coverage. Let's take, for example, various news channels in the West, whether it's in America or the UK, if they want an opinion about al-Islam, unfortunately, who do they invite? They invite individuals like Anjem Chowdhury. Anjem Chowdhury, we know he justifies suicide bombings. We know that he praises ISIS and groups like that. And they bring this imbecile who is not qualified, has never studied with a scholar of al-Islam, is not proficient in the Arabic language, does not know, is not familiar with the Quran or the laws of al-Islam, and they bring him to represent Muslims on television. I think that is absolutely irresponsible, and I don't think it's going to help in solving this problem. Yes.
The world, are you fearful for your life, you know, traveling country to country?
Sorry, say that again, I couldn't hear you.
Are you fearful? Is there any fear within you for Muslims around the world after these attacks? Or are you fearful for yourself?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not really scared because I think that every Muslim has a responsibility to clarify that which is correct. And that's a religious responsibility. So, however, there is a threat, no doubt, because these individuals, they don't differentiate between the taking of one life from another. And if you look at their activities in Saudi Arabia and Yemen, look at what happened, the massacre of innocent children in Pakistan a number of weeks ago by the Taliban. So these individuals are barbaric and they don't value life. Everyone has to understand the threat is not just against non-Muslims. Likewise, there is a great threat against Muslims, and many Muslims have lost their life due to this type of insane group. The main thing is that people who are condemning groups like this and their theology, that they're given the platform, because we have some excellent speakers, people who are grounded in Islamic law and can deal with these type of issues, but unfortunately they're not being given the platform to actually counter these type of arguments, and likewise to clarify the true Islamic position.
Do you believe that this is the end of the attacks on Muslims, or do you believe that this, or do you think that this this last episode would spark further further attacks?
I believe that as long as these individuals exist, and as long as they're free to travel, then these attacks, unfortunately, will continue. And I say that because in Islamic history, there was a sect similar to these, known as the Kharijites, where in reality, the current-day extremist groups derive their theology from this fanatical sect. And Prophet Muhammad said about them, he said, if I was to meet them, then I would have to kill them with the killing of Ad, meaning what? I would have to wipe them out, because their evil would not stop. It would not stop. They're going to continue, and it's going to get worse. Countering their theology is one aspect, and that's for every Muslim who is able to do that and who is grounded in knowledge of the Quran and the prophetic traditions with the understanding of the Prophet's disciples. However, also governments, they have a responsibility. The governments, obviously, they have to identify firstly. They have to identify the people that need to be hindered and the people who need to be targeted. And they have to make sure that no innocent and moderate Muslims are subjected to any type of ill treatment. So there's two important components to this. It's theological. We see the scholars of Islam doing that all around the world. We've heard many statements from Saudi Arabia. Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabri, one of the scholars of Medina, issued a verdict condemning the attacks with a beautiful refutation upon this sect. At the same time, the governments have a responsibility, because again, in Islamic history, we saw that Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was a relative of Prophet Muhammad, when he met a fanatical sect like this, the Kharijites, again, who we said are the predecessors of the current day groups, he fought against them. He fought against them as he was instructed to counter their evil and to hinder them from their corrupt objectives. And I think that's very important. That's the responsibility of the governments, like we see taking place in Saudi Arabia, if they can be convinced theologically that this is the wrong path. Otherwise, if they're going around murdering innocent people, then I think that force needs to be involved.
Okay, Imam, finally here, what we want to ask you here is, what can be done to prevent further attacks, and who is best equipped to counter the message of these extremists?
I think that in order to counter the message of these extremists, the correct qualified people have to be afforded the opportunity to speak on a wider scale and to get the correct message out there. Like you have afforded me the opportunity today to participate with you on this channel in order to explain that Islam is innocent of what has transpired. I think that's important that other media outlets take this responsible approach and allow Muslims, our brothers in England, our brothers in the US, likewise the scholars of the Muslim lands, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Yemen, or other than that, let them get their message out there in condemning these attacks and these individuals. And the correct Islamic theology can be spread. And it's a form of immunization. It's a form of immunization, because prevention is easier than cure. This should be something that is taught in schools. It should be taught in masajid. It should be taught in youth clubs. It should be taught everywhere, so that people are immunized against this fanatical ideology. So that when they hear it, or if they come into contact with a fanatic and a radical, then already they know how to counter his arguments. That's one aspect. The second is governmental, and that's important that they target the right people, and that may involve some type of force, yes.
Thank you, ma'am, for chatting with us. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much. Sure.
Thank you so much. Well, viewers, we would be just chatted via telephone with Imam Imam Hassan As-Sumali, an imam of Germantown Mosque, Philadelphia, USC. Viewers.